So, can the U.S. and Russia, who have been at loggerheads for years over Syria, come to an agreement? For some answers, I'm joined by Angela Stent. She's director of the Center for Eurasian, Russian, and East European Studies at Georgetown University. She has served in the State Department and at the National Intelligence Council. And Andronik Migranyan. He's the director of the Institute for Democracy and Cooperation, a non-governmental organization that has close ties to Russia's leadership. Welcome to you both to the NewsHour. Angela Stent, to you first. Why are the Russians trying to get involved in this after all these years?
Well, I think President Putin has just seen a major opportunity. I mean, for 20 years, the Russians have either complained and tried to block what the U.S. did, for instance, in the Balkans and Iraq, or they've gone along but said they never had an opportunity to shape the agenda. They have an opportunity now. There's division in the U.S. The president has hesitated about what to do. Russia does have a special relationship with President Assad. And I think it's, you know, I welcome the fact that they've now tried to take the initiative and find some solution to this awful situation.
Andronik Migranyan, so it's just taking advantage of a window of opportunity?
No, I don't think so. We have another perception. Yesterday, Wall Street Journal published an information that a year ago, during the summit of G20 in Los Cobos, Putin raised this problem of Syrian chemical weapons and proposed the idea to put these weapons under international control. Even in April, when Kerry visited Moscow, they raised this question together with Lavrov. But unfortunately, at that time, President Obama already said that Assad has to go. That's why they didn't pick this opportunity. Otherwise, a year ago, this process could start. And unfortunately, if Americans at that time agreed with Russians, they had to legitimize Assad's power in Syria, because you can't put under the control chemical weapons if you don't talk to the acting president. And this is the sad reality, which means Russia's position always was constructive.
Well, let's come back to Angela Stent. His version is that the Russians have been trying to do something here for years and the U.S. just hasn't taken advantage of it.
Well, I don't really think that. I wouldn't share that
a moment.
I wouldn't share that view.
This is yesterday's Wall Street Journal publication.
The Russians from the beginning have not wanted to see Assad go, and they've believed that he could prevail. And, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe he will prevail. So they've been very reluctant to do anything to undermine his position there. But I think we've now gotten to the point where we know that chemical weapons were used, even though President Putin said in the article today that it's the rebels, the opposition, that used them, not the U.S. But we're now in a position where I think the Russians realize that something has to be done. They would still like to keep Assad in power. And the way to do this is to try and get rid of the chemical weapons issue while they still supply conventional arms to Syria, of course.
Mr. Migranyan, what do the Russians want to happen in Syria?
Oh, you know, Russia's position is constant. Russian position was that, Putin is not stuck with Assad, and today he repeated that in his article. Lavrov several times said about that. Russia was in favor of negotiated settlement when all sides involved in conflict could participate in these negotiations. But, you know, again, American position and Western position was Assad has to go. But listen, Assad enjoyed a large support of the population over there, large support of ethnic and religious minorities. He enjoyed the support of his large army. Somebody had to represent these groups of people. You can't say just go. Who is coming next? This is Russia's position. That's why Russia was very constructive in the sense, because Americans showed a very bad credit history vis-a-vis this region, because their involvement in Iraq was disaster, involvement in Libya was disaster,
involvement
in Egypt was disaster. That's why this is the time to listen to Moscow, but just follow.
I hear the message, and I hear your message, and I want to give Ms. Stent a chance to respond.
Well, and we are listening to Moscow. So, you know, we had insisted before that we thought Assad had to go before you could have any solution. It's clear that at the moment that's not going to happen. I mean, obviously the United States has had to modify its position there because of events on the ground and because Russia has blocked any UN resolutions or anything that would, in fact, enable one to talk about a transition away from Assad. And I think in the end, maybe we and the Russians don't share such a different view of what we would like to happen in Syria eventually, which is a stable government not controlled by extremists. The problem is how you get there, and this may be a first step toward getting there, but we do have to wait and see how this is going to pan out and how sincere this
is. But if that's the case, if the goal is the same, why haven't the two sides been able to get together, do you think?
Well, I think because it has to do with Assad himself, with the diagnosis of what's the problem, and I think with the Russian concern, which Mr. Putin expressed in the article and Mr. Migranyan is expressing, what comes afterwards and the fear that extremist Islamist elements can come to power in Syria, which will threaten the region and threaten Russia itself.
So, Mr. Migranyan, do you accept the idea that what the U.S. and Russia want ultimately in Syria is a stable country? And so there maybe the interest is shared. It's just how do you get there that's different?
That's true, and I absolutely agree. But the only problem is that Russia knows better the region, and Russia always thinks what comes next, because Americans and Westerners killed Gaddafi, country is in ruins. Washington demanded Mubarak's go, and country is in chaos. And that's why one must be very cautious making statements, which then it's hard to play back. That's the reality.
Mr. Migranyan, what do you think the prospects are that the two sides will come together, that Mr. Kerry, Mr. Lavrov, the U.S. and the Russians will be able to come to some agreement that will actually manage to separate the Syrians from their chemical weapons?
I think that if Congress will be determined not to give authority to president to strike against Syria, in this case, we can have a success in diplomatic area. Otherwise, if I am afraid, and I dare to say, if Obama enjoyed the support of Congress, he could ignore Security Council as that happened with Reagan, with Clinton, with Bush Jr., and could unilaterally act against Assad because he once said that he is crossing the red line.
So,
fortunately, Congress is making more sober Washington's policy vis-a-vis the region.
So, Angela Stent, it sounds as if he's saying if the threat of military force is taken off the table, maybe they can come together. But how do you see it? What do you think the prospects
are? Well, I think the prospects, I mean, at the moment, you know, let's be optimistic, but it's a question of timing. How long is it going to take? First of all, for Syria to sign this convention, then to allow to show where its chemical weapons stockpiles are, and then to start getting rid of them. And one can foresee a situation, a scenario where this could keep dragging out. And at some point, the president has made it clear that he would act even without Congress's support. I mean, he made that clear in his speech. And then I think it's a serious question: can you have a UN resolution that doesn't have some sanction against Assad? If you don't say, if he doesn't comply with this, the threat of the use of force is always there. If Russia doesn't agree to that, then, you know, how much leverage do you have? But I think we have to sit and step back and wait and see what Mr. Kerry and Mr. Lavrov can accomplish. But I think timing is going to be the major question here.
All right. We hear you both, Angela Stent, Andronik Migranyan. Thank you.